Alright, this is 1098. Here we go.
Yeah.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big Show time!
Like an inch and a half long. Right. My wife doesn't care.
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen? This is dining room sushi.
I'd watch sweet on me.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the stream length, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IRC channel is a linuxtech.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 1098 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah. Also. And so I've been banging my head against the wall with converting these functions.
Hold on, hold
That's
on.
What she said.
Right. Hold on. We were talking about poop. I wanted to mention that as a you know as a guy with semi-chronic constipation.
Uh-oh.
I do keep a long handle on my plunger, and it does stay next to my toilet downstairs.
That sounds
yes,
awful.
I always it do is. That, too. Because low-flow toilets are bullshit.
I don't have any problems with constipation.
When I finally do take a crap, it's just a lot. And
But yeah. Let me tell you, protein farts...
I'll tell you, I'm taking two, maybe three a day, and I can't believe how much comes out of me. I'm like, when did I eat that?
He's just full of shit.
Yeah, I'm lucky to be able to, like, once every 2 days.
Damn.
That sounds like me when I go on, like, somebody go out of town. I'm like, I don't like pooping in other people's toilets, and for some reason, I get clogged up for 2 days, and I'm like, oh, this is terrible.
Mm.
I don't like it.
Except constantly.
Oh, that sucks. All right.
So what were you working on was technical?
I'm converting these functions here to in the process of generation two to also from common JavaScript to ES module, ES7 module, and then on top of that, I have to move from I'm moving them from. Testing with Mocha to Jest, and so there's like significant differences on how to mock things and everything. I'm learning a lot, but it's so like I spent 3 days
yeah.
banging my freaking head against trying to convert these
Uh-oh,
things.
What happened?
And it was trying to mock things properly. So what it was doing is like, even though I thought I had it mocked, it was still going out to the actual module library and making the call instead of mocking the call like it's supposed to. And I tried every which way I could think of to do this. I'm reading the documentation. I'm even getting help from Gemini over there on the Google search. I'm double checking mm-hmm. everything, going to the documentation. I'm like, why can't I get this? So I tapped another guy, and he's like, after like a while he was working through it, he's like, oh, all you have to do is just instead of saying just doing the mock this way, you just say mock unstable module instead of mock module, like mock unstable module. And I'm like, is that it? Just one different change like that? And that's what it's been like with trying to do this. Now the guy who did this before like was a hell of a lot better JavaScript developer than I am, and he did some he was like one of the top people on the team, and so I'm trying to piece through this, and another thing that was like tripping me up is he in Mocha he was mocking a bunch of different calls, right? And it was like call one, call zero, call one, call two, call three. And that's the way that you can have it return different values when it's called a specific number of times. And I had looked through the documentation for doing that with Jest, and I saw so many different ways to do it, and none of them were working. Like, mm-hmm. And it's an odd way that it's not working, because I don't know exactly, like, I think I know what the problem is, but I'm not getting the results that I expect to get back, until, like, so it's like a mock resolved value is what you say, and then you provide it the value that it's supposed to come back, right? But if you want to do multiple calls, I thought it was like mock resolve value once, and then the next one's mock resolve value, and then mock resolve value. Then there's like a mock resolve nth value, and that was like confusing me. I don't know. Everything I tried. So all it turned out to be was, instead of me calling it like mock resolve value once, and then mock resolve value, I had to do mock resolve value once for all of them. And then it worked. And then it does that thing where it's like, okay, so the comparison is in Jest, in Mocha was expect something to period EQL period some value. But then in Jest, it's camel case to equal instead of two dot equal. And then the value that it's expecting in Mocha, sometimes like it's put in as a object or as an array, and you have to remove that array from the Jest side, because then it puts it in like it I don't know if it's putting it in an array itself, but I end up with way too many levels of an array when I try and do this, where what it seems to be. So it's like I'm like trying to figure out, am I doing it wrong because I have it in an array? Am I doing it wrong because I'm not mocking the values right? Like, and finally, after like 3 days of banging my head against the wall, I finally got it. And I'm like, oh man, now I'm passing these tests. All right. And it required me, like, it's seriously, it's good to have the test, because as I'm running the test, I'm realizing that there's things that I missed in my conversion, and I have to do it a different way. Like writing some classes and how certain things were being pulled in that these tests picked up. So I was able to go back and fix all that stuff. And then I got that one, this is just like a bunch of unit tests. And once I got those done with some help, then the integration test, and that's the one where I need to get a little bit of help with some of the mocking there. And then there was a second integration test that I'm still working on. Like, I had to get help with trying to figure out how to actually call the class, because the way that it was being done, like, I spent 2 days trying so many different ways of how to call this class, and it just wasn't working. It couldn't call it properly. And then I got somebody's help, and they're like, well, let's just change this, this, and this. And then I'm like, oh, I would never have gotten that. Like, but I get it now, right? And then it was like, now the thing is, like, the class that had to be mocked in the code is now something that there's an extra, like, in the test, they're using a different class, calling it the same way that it was called in this thing, and then calling some other configuration files into that. And I'm trying to put this in there like that, and I'm getting things like, oh, it's not a, you know, it's not just not a class, there's no constructor here. And, you know, then I got another guy to help me out with that. Like, I wish I understood a little better as to what the hell was going on. Now I'm at the point where it seems to be working with the class, but it's not finding a configuration value, which is in there. And I'm like, oh, it's just so slow freaking going. because I feel like such an idiot. And when I go to the documentation, it's like I said last week, Joel, it's like, here's a Hello World application. Have at it. You're on your own. And I'm like, this doesn't match anything that I'm looking and reading here. And it's like, okay, we'll give you a Hello World documentation. And then here's an API reference. Here's a command reference. And I'm like, can I get a little more? Can you show me how this all like really comes together? Why is it that everybody's doing it differently than the documentation is showing me? I don't understand. Why is it like that? And sure enough, there we go. But yeah, I'm learning a lot. It is fun. And then I get pulled away to do other things. This is the big week where we're switching all our stuff over to Entra's login, and instead of Okta, which seems to be going fairly well. I'm not really too involved in that, other than the fact that the one thing that frosts my Pop-Tart about the Entra side of things is it's either going to make me use the Microsoft Authenticator or it's going to text me a code to my phone. And I don't like that. I wish it would let me use just like Google's Authenticator or whatever, because that's where I have everything in. But that frosts me. Anyway, fun times.
And it's in Microsoft Entra is real sensitive to things like geolocation and stuff like that. I've noticed. Or like, for example, if say someone logged in with your login in Virginia, but then someone logged in with your login in like India, all right, or in another location that's far away from where you are, you know, which can happen if you're on a VPN, and I don't understand how sensitive. Why it's so damn freaking sensitive. We deal with it all the time with us. And you got the other thing too. You got to remember, at least with us anyway, is a lot of times the people we're working with at the different institutions, they don't get paid like you and I do. All right, so they don't really know the things that they're doing as well as we know the things that we're doing. So it's like when you go to them and says, "Hey, I need you to adjust this." They're like, it takes a while for them to hunt for it and figure it out, you know, because that's not the only thing they do. You know, a lot of schools that I work with, you know, they don't necessarily have a guy that handles Entra for them. That guy that might do the Entra stuff may also be installing software in labs too. So, you know, say he's doing all sorts of things, and he can be very smart. But, you know, if you're not doing the same dang thing day in, day out, you don't remember it. At least that's my opinion anyway. Trust me, I know, because I'm starting to pick up some of the stuff that I used to do all the time when I was in professional services. And now I'm like, wait a minute, how did I do this? You know, because I've been working with a cloud team for so long. But here in a few weeks, so I'm going to be celebrating my 10th anniversary with Illusion. I've been there technically longer than that, because I was a year and a half a contractor.
Oh, wait, Joel, 1 second. I got to step away for a second. Keep talking.
Sure.
I got to help my wife with something.
Go ahead, help her. Anywho. But, yeah, next. Got into this discussion with a wife, and she's like, "Well, if you can get a Suburban and buy a Chevy Suburban and have the same payments that we have now, then you can go get it." And I'm like, and she tells me this like, what, 2 weeks out from us needing that kind of vehicle. So I started to look at it, and then she's like, nah, you need no. And I'm like, make up your freaking mind, woman. So next week, next Wednesday, I'll be grabbing. It should be here next Wednesday. But next Wednesday there'll be a Chevy Suburban or an Expedition. I don't know. It depends on what budget gives me. sitting in the driveway and getting ready to journey down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana for my son's first tournament. I'm kind of excited about it, mostly because I want to get a chance to get some real Cajun food. Because I love that stuff.
That should be fun.
Yeah, I just got to be very careful and be ultra cognizant of what I eat and getting exercise and doing the workouts and stuff.
Yeah.
On an assisted pull-up machine yesterday, I did 125 pounds. It starts at 150, and that's where I started it. And so that means in the assisted pull-up, the less amount of weight, the more I'm pulling in my own body weight up.
Right.
So.
The question then
means I'm getting stronger. So.
Right.
So what was your question?
How many are you doing?
I did 10.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, 10. Right about 10 there, I think. You couldn't do the whole thing. I usually try to do a 15 in a set, but I failed around 10, so.
Yeah, well, as long as you keep trying for that little bit more so that you can, you know, progressively get better.
And on the curl machine, I'm doing, I think I started off at 100, the next set I did 105, then I did 110.
For curls?
Yeah, it's a curl machine with both hands, so.
Yeah.
But, so it's what, probably about 55 in each, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So, but, and then 100 to 105 on the bench press. I'm still maxing out the ab crunch and back extension machine. I've got, those are like ab crunch machine at 240. It's a weighted one, so it's 247 and a half and 247 and a half on the back extension too.
Cool.
And 415 still. I'm maxing out the leg press machine that I'm using over there. I probably could go either on the hack squat or they have another leg press machine with weights. But it's entering into the summer. And guess what Planet Fitness does in the summer? Free workouts for kids.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's cool and it's not, because then you get a bunch of high school kids that are just like, I had two of them that were just, they were switching back and forth, and I'm like, are you guys done? You know, they're just standing there right in front of the assisted pull-up machine, and like, well, I think the other guy has one more set. I'm like, you can sneak yours in now. I'm like, no, finish the set, get out of there. I was nicer than this.
Right.
I said, finish your set. I'll go figure something else out. And I came, because I do mine, like, I'll do my one set, wait 20 seconds, do the next set, wait 20 seconds, do the next set. Then I'm done. So I'll be in and out of that machine in maybe 5 minutes most, at most. It's like, you know, I'm like, guys, stand there fucking around. It's like, get out of my way and let me do my workout. Oh, pisses me off. But, you know, I'd love to go to a different gym that had more equipment, but because, like, certain things, like they got, like, maybe three Smith machines, and then it's like, if I wanted to use a Smith machine, I really can't because they're so they're always busy.
I just got a membership at Crunch Gym.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I'm going there with a fellow veteran.
Okay. Crunch and Munch Gym? Start a
veterans lifting group. Huh?
Crunch and Munch Gym.
It's just called Crunch.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's more for, I guess, bodybuilders.
Oh.
Than anything else. So
it's Crunch Fitness, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. I've been twice now, but
ooh, they got a hit zone. I like hit. That's essentially what we do on Thursdays.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I did
what was it? Biceps, triceps, and forearms the other day. And yeah, it's sometimes fun to have a gym partner to go.
What
with.
Does that cost?
$10
and that, okay, so that's for just the one location if you need the national one. Oh, it's for all of them?
Yeah.
Any
the difference
them?
Is, cool. is you don't get the classes, that's all.
Oh.
I mean, there's two other tiers. If you get the next tier up, you can get, I think, some of the classes, and the tier above
I
that,
don't know if we
you
have,
can have
a crunch.
Unlimited guests.
Okay. Unlimited guests would be cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I will.
Interesting.
Hopefully be using it more, but I've been twice with my friend, and I think tomorrow I'm going by myself.
They're both 15 miles away from me. There's one in Hilliard and one in Reynoldsburg.
Yeah. There is one like right up the street from me about, I think, 8 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's evidently very, very busy on Mondays. So I went to the one that was closer to my office on Monday. But tomorrow I think I'm going to try the one that is up the street from me again and see how it is on Thursdays.
Now, the one, I think they're expensive. I'm going to have to hit up my buddy that does the... that sucks. Esport is now rebranded as LA Fitness. Okay, because I think the East... Well, some of them are still labeled Esport, but I think some of the ones with LA Fitness here have swimming pools too. So I'm going to have to look at the cost and see what it would cost. Because the only thing I don't like is none of them are in Grove City. The only one, there's an Orange Theory, which is god-awful expensive. Like, I looked at Orange Theory. They're stupid priced. I don't, and they're, also, there's not as many of them either on a nationwide basis. So it's like, Planet Fitness is in that sweet spot where I pretty much can find one no matter where I'm going. There's like one 15 minutes away from the Verbo where down at in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. But I like a bit more free weights.
Yeah.
Than they tend to have.
Planet Fitness, they max out in dumbbells at 75.
You can't exactly get a proper bench press.
No, all they got Planet Smiths. Fitness. Well, you know, that's funny that you mentioned that. Most of them have Smith machines, but I have noticed that, and I'm in a couple of the Planet Fitness groups on Facebook, there's at least one club that posted a honest-to-God regular bench. Like, regular bench press.
I didn't think they had
not
those.
A Smith. And I'm like, interesting.
They have the benches, but they never have an Olympic bar that isn't attached to a Smith machine.
Right. That's not. I saw at least one club that had the Olympic bar, which would be an improvement. Because some of them are taking out their 30-minute rooms, which honestly, I've tried the 30-minute. I went through 30-minute one time, and I hated every single one of the machines. They just had weird ergonomics. Like the tricep press, you sit in it, and it has these rubber handles that just kind of extend over your shoulders, and it just felt so uncomfortable to me. Now the tricep machine I normally do is the one with the handles at either side, and you push them down. I like that one. It's comfortable. And the regular one is fine, but I can't do like the regular tricep suspension. I can do those, but I can't do as much weight on that cable. So I can do more weight on the pushdown machine. So
it ain't about the
weight
that you can do. It's about working.
Right. I know. Yeah. I know.
Which is why after you tell me about your curls and your leg press, I didn't immediately bring mine in to...
Right, I know. It doesn't matter. I'm not competing against anyone but myself. So That's like today's run. Last couple days I've been starting off a little slower, like around 5.5, 5.6, and I do that for about 5 minutes. But then I'll do like a couple minutes walking, then I'll book it up to about 6, 6.5. And today I did 7, 7.5 almost. In my runs. Yeah, I do it alternating. Yeah, I do interval training on it essentially. It's a pain in the ass because I can't. You can't. It's one of those things where I wish you can literally program it in so that you just have to run and the machine does it for you. But I don't think there's a program on that that also combines hills as well. So, yeah. It doesn't bother me too much. I'm to the point now where the iPad used. Unless I'm in a mood where I just don't want to be there, but I need to be there, you know what I mean, and do that cardio, I usually don't cover the clock on the treadmill anymore. I put my iPad below that, and I'll have stuff on semi watch it, you know.
Right, just something to keep you mildly distracted.
Yeah, basically, because now I'm concentrating more on trying to get. Like, I want to get between 2.5, 2.6 miles in 30 minutes, and I've been consistently doing that. So, because the big thing I'm trying to do is when I get to the 5K next month, I want to PR during the race, which I'm on track to do that. So, I mean, that should not be a problem. So, because I can... One thing I've also discovered on the treadmill, I can run faster off the treadmill than I can on the treadmill. It's just the frame and stuff in the way the treadmill that they have at Planet Fitness works out that makes me feel like I can't go as fast. Sounds like your dog's having a problem, Dan.
Well, that's my cat.
Oh, that hairball. Cat's vomiting.
Yeah, she got a hairball.
Right next to the microphone.
Right?
No, she's actually like 4 feet away from me. It's almost.
Dear God.
Yeah, she's prone to hairballs.
What kind of microphone do you have?
I have a
cheap one.
Well, it sounds really good. It's just it picks up everything.
It's not a Yeti.
To you. Samsung Q2U.
Oh, one of those. Okay.
No, I have the Samsung Q2U inside. It's pretty good.
Yep.
It's not as bad as like the Blue about picking up everything.
Yep. Anyway, what I was saying about gyms though, LA, I need to try LA Fitness, and I got a buddy who can get me in to do a workout over there. I want to try them before I commit to changing gyms. LA Fitness is going to be have a little bit more wider access, and they have pools, so that might be a good thing too.
Yeah.
So.
Well. Looks like I'm going to have to replace a motor on my 3D printer.
Oh no.
Yeah, the extruder motor. I'm thinking it's the extruder. I'm hoping it's the extruder motor, because it's very variable on how much it actually extrudes. There's
You sure
Even after I calibrate it,
are you sure it's not the grub the screw?
Oh yes, I'm sure it's not the screw. I replaced that entire setup.
Okay, so you got a new grub screw and all that. So.
Yeah, I replaced the gears because I thought it might be the gears. I replaced the tensioner screw, the tensioner arm, all of that, the whole assembly, and it's still very variable on how much it extrudes. So I'm hoping it's the motor.
Interesting.
Because if it's not the motor, that means it's either the board or the power supply.
Uh-huh.
So I would much rather it be the $12 motor.
Yeah.
So I will replace that first and then move on from there.
I actually just fired my printer up again for the first time in months.
Well, I decided... when I originally printed my mini rack... And I know I talked about that like all the time when I was doing it. But I printed it mostly in PLA.
Right.
And I knew when I did it that that could end up being a problem in the summer and that I was probably going to have to reprint it. So I ended up buying three rolls of PET G, and I've started the process.
I should use that roll of PET G I have. I got a roll of red PET G. It's still sealed. I haven't even opened it.
As long as it's still sealed, you should be good. Cause that, it will, if you leave
it's
it out,
it's hygroscopic,
yeah.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And I've got a bag full of t-shirts I should make, too. I haven't done.
And I had a problem with my next cloud.
Oh.
Several times now. Well, at least twice now, which is more than enough for me. In that it basically dumped all of its settings, and I had to start over from the beginning. And I understood why, and it's because I'm an idiot. And I installed. I was using the Docker version of Nextcloud. I installed Watchtower.
Conflict.
I didn't have a proper setup for the config side of Docker. So when it updated, it wiped out the config.
Bummer.
Like I said, I was an idiot. But the first time I redid it, that, you know, that was fine. I didn't realize what it was then, and so I set it all up again the way I had it before and let everything back up again. Because when you do that, it basically deletes everything.
Right.
So, you know, got it set up the second time, and it did it again. Now I've switched to the LXC version, which shouldn't have those problems and is on the mini rack. So we'll see how things go.
Interesting.
And I don't have the full setup done yet. All I have is the setup that backs up my photos from my phone and my contacts and all of that. So there is a few other things that I will set back up. But, yeah, for now, it's just backing up my phone.
Nice. So we got an article I shared with Dan, written by our friend Stephen Von Nichols. It says, believe it or not, Microsoft just announced a Linux distribution service.
I'm not surprised by
WSL?
That.
Me either. Well, here's the thing to consider here is Microsoft's, guess what operating system is the most popular operating system on the Azure cloud service?
Linux?
Absolutely. It's Linux and not Windows. It's not been Windows for many years now. And so now they're taking this step. Let's see. Azure Image Testing for Linux, AITL, available as a service to distro publishers.
Now, that's for running their distro on Azure, right?
Correct.
It's not like
it's not
really
like Microsoft made their own Linux yet.
Right, but it's not like really benefiting anybody who's not using Azure.
And that is the operative word, yet, because I do believe Microsoft will do that eventually.
One day they'll put just their skin of Windows on top of Linux.
And be done with kernel development.
The first step was moving Edge to a Chromium base.
Yes. Yes, I think even Microsoft is recognizing the value of Linux, so that's not a bad thing anymore. Especially since there are people who really, really don't want to go to Windows 11, and Windows 11's dying here, what, the end of the year?
Windows 10.
So, 10, yes, correct. Sorry, I said 11. And not to mention the fact Microsoft keeps doing bullshit stuff to Windows 11.
Yeah, and, you know, when it does happen, when Windows 10 does go out of service, there's so many devices that, without jumping through a lot of technical hoops, cannot go to Windows 11.
Yeah, it requires a certain kind of TPM module, right?
Yeah. So there will either be a lot of low-cost e-waste, or people will have to switch to Linux.
And Joe's rubbing his hands together because he wants to eat up the e-waste.
Yeah, hey, if I've got the extra money when it happens, I'm probably going to buy some low-cost computer parts to have fun with. I mean,
but in that same article, though, Steve Von Nichols also linked out to a new distribution I had never heard of. S-Desk.
Yeah, I never heard of it either.
It looks pretty interesting. Here, I'll put the link in the Mumble chat.
For what?
For the S-Desk Linux distro.
What is that?
By Steve Studios.
You put it in a Mumble chat?
Well, I haven't done it yet. Give me a minute.
Gotta get our Linux distros on. I should try a new distro at some point.
I'm a Manjaro. I'm gonna stick with it.
I mean, yeah, I am too on this one machine. I really love it.
I got Manjaro with the plasma, so. Yeah, this SDS looks like it's a nice lightweight distribution that's very similar to Windows in a lot of ways. GTK themes. I kind of like it. It looks cool.
Dun, dun, dun.
Looks a little bit like Windows 11. Which I've used Windows 11. I still got a laptop that has it on it, mostly because I just haven't done anything with it yet. Well, that and I need the backup in case my MacBook has issues for Lightroom. I need it, but technically I probably should just put Linux on my Surface Pro 6 since I'd hardly use it anymore. And then maybe ditch this laptop, considering that the battery doesn't work in it anymore. I've already replaced it once. I don't really feel arsed to do it again. Although the battery's only like $40, so I should just do it. I don't know. One thing I need to finish up is I need to finish up my script for that for my HBR episode for my health stuff. But I think I'm also going to start a new podcast called, and I got the name for it already, Fitness for the Rest of Us. That's what I'm going to call it.
Wait, what is the point of this S-Desk distribution?
That's a good question. I guess it's just yet another lightweight distribution. They got one for Apple Silicon. Interesting.
Was because like it, so, you can download S-Desk free of charge and flash into a USB drive, image USB. You can switch to S-Desk. You can switch. You could buy a physical edition of it. It includes S-Desk USB drive.
You download the ISO too.
A license. And copy of the Blue programming language and a manual to help you guys. What is the Blue programming language?
That's a good question.
Like,
it looks interesting. They got a separate ISO for if you have a NVIDIA GPU. So that must include the NVIDIA driver, the non-open source one. Oh wait, Swirl for S-Desk. Swirl for Mac. Swirl is a program. What is Swirl?
I don't know. What is it?
I don't know. I'm Googling it. Give me a minute. It's also by Steve Studios. It's a lightweight, powerful, fast, and beautiful browser. Oh, it's a browser. Yet another browser. The most intuitive browser for Unix platforms. Okay. I might have to install that on my Mac just to see what it is without. I mean, I guess I could install it on Manjaro. Let me execute the Pac-Man command.
Wait, what are you doing with the, like, what are you? Oh, you're installing Swirl?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of looks like, I don't know, is this? Like, there's, like, no documentation on their site.
Yeah.
And, I'm going around at the different links as to, like, exactly what this is. So you can go to download. You can download the ISO. You can Swirl, I guess. Like, so their only example for installing or using Swirl is with Pac-Man. So does that mean
S-Desk is Arch-based?
Is it?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because it tells you how to install Swirl on S-Desk.
I thought S-Desk came with Swirl.
That's, you know, I don't know. It's confusing, man. It's interesting.
Like, how do you know that it supports ARM-based?
Swirl does.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the distribution also did.
Yeah, they have a Swirl browser for the Mac.
Right, but I just.
How do I install? Hold on a sec. It says go to downloads for Swirl. Let's do that. The Pac-Man command doesn't work because you're not part of it.
Did you do an update?
No, it just says sudo pacman-s swirl. Maybe I'd need to do it with yay.
Well, I meant, like, when was the last time you updated the package?
Today. I'm trying it with Yay. Yep, it's buildable in Yay through AUR.
Yeah.
There we go. Yay's working.
Install with sudo pacman -s swirl.
Yeah, that doesn't work. You use Yay instead of Pac-Man.
Well, it's not in any of the Arch repositories.
It must have been lying to me when it said it was going to install.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't try and install it through Yay.
Oh.
Because I'm looking at the AUR right now, and yeah. Is it Swirl?
Is this Swirl-bin?
Okay, that's a high-level statically typed compiled programming language, so it's not.
Okay.
It's not what you're looking for.
Okay.
So you know what? This is. I'll bet you that this is, if S-Desk is based on Arch, it's probably S-Desk has its own repositories.
Yep. Yep.
So that's why. Yeah. It's interesting because I don't see, like, over here on the GitHub site, which is down in their support, I see stuff that they're putting together for, looks like, on top of S-Desk, like S-Desk Pac-Man, the extended S-Desk Pac-Man repository, S-Desk Builder Image for S-Desk GNU Linux. So where the hell is S-Desk GNU Linux? Swirl's not listed in any of this stuff here. Am I missing it? No, Swirl's not in here. And so their site doesn't give you any information here. If you want to get support, you can only contact them to get support. How much is the S-Desk distribution? Oh my god! Oh my god! Did you look at the price for this thing?
Let me look.
$192.
Fuck 25 that.
Cents. I guess
he said you could download the ISO.
Yeah, you can. Well, see, no, to be fair, the S-Desk physical edition comes with a license to the Blue programming language, which itself is $178.52. So that extra, like, $13 and some change is what is you're paying for the, probably the USB drive that it comes on.
Maybe. Because I'm not even seeing that. If you go to downloads, you can download it. You have to have a USB drive with over 12 gig of storage. Or you can switch to SS by purchasing SS Physical Edition. It includes a USB drive and a license. If it's a Linux ISO, it shouldn't need a license.
No, it's a license for the Blue programming language.
Oh. Eh.
See, I, you know what? And you know, more power to him, but I'm like,
right.
I'm like, who?
What is the Blue programming language, and who in the hell is going to use it?
Well, it's a cross-compiling, procedural, statically typed, type-inferred, cross-platform, portable, memory-safe, small, and reliable language with a fast and efficient compiler designed for use with the S-Desk operating system. It has a high-level, efficient syntax designed for max readability for old and new developers alike. It can compile and integrate with four popular languages and can bring the advanced world of systems programming to new programmers.
Yeah. Ever heard of Rust? Or any other umpteen million different languages that are already out there that are free?
Like, and that's what I'm wondering. Like, you know, more power to this guy, but I'm like, who buys the licenses and stuff like this
for? Right.
And runs, because it seems like the Blue programming language is tied specifically to S-Desk, and I'm like, so what are you going to be?
Right.
Is this something that maybe, I don't know, like a point of sale appliance or some maybe, kind of appliance?
I don't know,
that,
man.
That you would bundle this in as the operating system for whatever appliance, and then that's how the licenses get paid. I don't.
Yeah, it's odd.
I'm just like, where did you first hear about this?
I just saw it linked to out of a Stephen J. Ron. There was a link to it from within the Microsoft article we just talked about. And it was another article Stephen Bond Nichols wrote.
It has its own file system, too. Steve Studio's file system. File-based deduplication, easy to implement.
Yeah, just kind of reinventing the wheel.
Well, you know, I would assume this guy's got some skills and talents if he's writing his own file system and programming language. Good for him.
Personally, I would go with Manjaro or even Ubuntu over that.
Well, I guess that's the thing. It's like, I don't understand. I don't quite grasp the audience that this is going for.
Right.
And again, unless he's working with a specific, like, what was I'm looking for? Technology, like point of sale system. Where is he like the I don't know. You know, it's. Did I ever tell you about the guy I met who does he was working on a medical device. A medical device that his company's doing a medical device that gets implanted into the body, I think. One of those kind of things. I was talking to this guy and I asked him, I'm like, oh, because he and his partner that he runs his company with are putting together this medical device, and I'm like, oh, so what platform, like what are your development tools? And basically he said to me, I really don't know. I'm not a developer. I'm a business person. And the guy
first red flag.
The guy I partner with is a developer, and I've written some code. I'm learning. And I'm like, you motherfuckers. I'm like, what the hell? You don't have a biologist or a doctor involved in this thing. You have a developer and this guy who doesn't even know what what tools he's using. I'm like, this freaking insane.
Yep.
Well, it's
Did you see John and Kelly they're moving from Nova Scotia all the way to the other side of Canada.
Oh, John and Kelly. I thought you said John Kelly. I'm like, no, who the hell is
John
Kelly?
And Kelly. John Watson and Kelly Penguin Girl, a.k.a. Kelly Mitchell Moore.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Yeah. But wait, hold on one second. Yep. That's the thing that frightens me about a lot of this technology and stuff that people are putting together is you got people who have no idea. Like what they're doing, just slapping.
That's
like,
right.
I can make a single board computer and put it in somebody's body, and we can monitor our mind. Like, oh my god, that's not the way that this works.
Well, not to mention the fact you have to have freaking FDA approvals, and come on, dude.
For now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean,
that's
Apple
crazy.
Can't even. I mean, Apple's been trying, and that's. Yeah, there's one thing that would actually get me to switch my phone and watch over to Apple, and that's blood glucose monitoring. You know, that's worth it for me. I would switch for that.
But well, all they have to do is offer Trump a $400 million plane, and I think they're good.
Oh, well, no, let's not go there, because that whole thing is just stupid. Anyway.
Okay, so actually my wife needs help right now. Okay. I'll be right back. But yeah, John and Kelly are moving to the other side. Are they
opening
a bed and breakfast on the other side now?
I don't think so. I think the whole reason they're moving is to be closer to somebody's family. I have to look at the whole story.
I'll be right back.
But they're in the middle of a road trip across Canada. They're in Saskatchewan today.
I'm in mid-set right now.
Mm-hmm.
Doing incline dumbbell bench.
So I mean, that's the one thing Apple's working on. Plus, Apple is like falling all over themselves because they can't seem to to launch Apple Intelligence and make Siri suck less. Yeah. And of course, the iPhone 17 isn't even out, and they're saying, oh, Apple's going to release a foldable next year. Okay, whatever.
And I'm sure that it will be innovative and brave.
Yes, so brave, so innovative.
And the first people to do it.
Right. Yeah, I get the fanboys. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the Apple hardware that I have. I like, okay? I like my iPhone. I like my new MacBook. It's pretty nice. Is it the best laptop ever? No, not really. I mean, it's
got a brilliant screen.
It's better than average. I'll say it's better than average, and it runs a whole hell of a lot cooler than my Windows-based laptop, which would or any of my Linux-based laptops either. So it's like, you know,
I should be getting a new work laptop like next week. I have no idea what they're sending me though.
They're going to send you a Surface.
No.
A Copilot PC.
It doesn't really matter what they send me. I mean, I'm going to be using
Windows, right?
Yeah, it's going to run Windows. I can't put anything else on it, and I'm going to be accessing a virtual desktop, so
why don't
they could send me a goddamn Chromebook, it wouldn't matter.
Google would be smart if they just build into Chrome OS a way you can access desktop as a service and be done with it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's called Chrome Remote Desktop.
Yeah. I have, and that's the funniest thing, I really have no desire to get a Chromebook. At one point I kind of wanted one, but I don't anymore.
Well, when they were low cost and you could, you know, hack your way to running Linux on them, it was one thing. But they're not really low cost anymore.
Well, it depends. I mean, you can get them low cost, but the low cost ones usually suck.
Yeah.
So, and all of a sudden, Rich Hughes is posting stuff about knives. I like this stuff, Rich, if you're listening. I like knives. I like things that are sharp and pointy.
Hmm. I'm sure he's still printing guns, too.
I'm sure. I'm jealous. He's got a bamboo.
Oh, my kids are getting me the Elegoo Centauri Carbon for my birthday.
Is that the FDM?
Yeah, it is. It's
it's not resin.
It's a clone.
Okay.
It's a clone of the Bamboo Labs.
Interesting.
But it only costs like $300
versus $800.
Yeah. Or considerably more, like $1,200 to $1,400. Because this is enclosed. It's not a bed slinger. It's a Core XY. So it's supposed to be much faster than like your Enders and things like that. And because it's enclosed and they have their own extruder, you can print more materials, including like TPU and carbon fiber and
I can do TPU on my smart Smart Pro, CR10 yeah. Smart Pro. I can do that. It's direct drive anyway.
I could do TPU on the Ender if I, you know, put in the time to do the conversion to direct drive. And but it's also got like the built-in anyway, leveling.
Though. You huh? should try it. You should try it anyway on your Ender because it would probably work. It's just a little finicky. You gotta tune the retraction on it.
Yeah, I'd still rather convert it to direct drive before I did that. Just in case.
Yeah, it definitely works better on direct drive.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I mean, yeah, and I could do, you know, probably some of the. Well, I could definitely do ABS if I put it in an enclosure, and you can get an enclosure pretty cheap. But yeah, you've heard all the problems I've recently had. I'm basically, you know, rebuilding this damn thing. It needs a new bed. I put Kapton tape on there to level up the wobbly parts on the bed, like the portions that had dipped for some reason, warped.
Right.
I leveled it back out with Kapton tape. So
I'm gonna tell you that I'm glad I have the auto. It's basically BL Touch is what Creality puts on theirs and now, and I'm so glad I got that.
It's basically what the Carbon is gonna have. So
it's so much. The only thing you gotta do is you gotta adjust the offset to make sure it's close enough to the bed, and that's it. And so once you do that, run the auto level sequence and it's going to print fine.
Yeah. So I had to replace the Y belt. I've already replaced the X belt. Now I'm replacing motors. I don't know how many times I've replaced the entire hot end. I have the custom fan assembly on there.
Right.
It looks like I need to, I've replaced the springs on the bed already. I've replaced the control knob, the adjustment knobs on the bed already. It looks now like I need to replace the hot bed. In order to get it level,
yeah.
It looks. I'm replacing a motor. What's next? The board, the power supply.
That's the only thing about Creality printers, yeah. Man.
And then you know, if I start doing upgrades, it's been fun to learn on, but I think it will be more fun for me for a while to have.
Just a
higher quality printer. Yeah. I've done the learning part. Now I want to do the printing part.
Yeah.
Without the extra.
So that logo might work. Another one I might look at and it would be any Prusa.
Oh, the any cubic or the, yeah, I think it's the any cubic has another bamboo clone. The bamboo clones are coming out strong this year.
I'd like a Prusa XL with the multi-filament. But I ain't gonna get that, that's for sure. Yeah, at least the higher-end Crealities are better than the Enders, so...
It's the Anycubic Cobra S1.
Okay. The only reason I want like a bamboo or something like that is I want something that's faster.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of the, or one of the points of the Elegoo Centauri Carbon is it prints nearly as fast as the bamboo for a third the price.
Granted, I probably could do that with my current one. I just have to... One thing that I need to do is try a speed run on it and see how it works.
Yeah. And I know you've heard about all the problems that Bamboo recently had with...
Well, yeah, in fact, they're not open source, too.
Yeah, that you have to connect to their servers, and if you do anything to your printer, they can, like, basically make it not print. You have to use their slicer, blah blah, etc.
Meh, I like Cura.
Yeah.
Cobra S1 is only 700. That's not bad.
Oh no, I'm seeing it at 500.
Well, that's with the four color. The Cobra S1 combo. That'd be worth it though. 700 ain't bad. Because you can get, that's for four colors. You can get one with eight colors.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
What's the eight color?
Everybody says that the Elegoo.
That's $9.59. Wow.
Everybody says that Elegoo is going to come out with theirs since their printer has the whole poop chute and everything like that, so that it can do filament changes or whatever. Right. But we'll see. They don't have it yet. I don't know how much it'll cost if they do.
Right.
I need but to another thing is I can already see, because I keep watching the software, you can't use it with Octoprint.
I don't like Octoprint.
I like Octoprint, but they do. It does look like Elegoo has their own similar style software, because I don't want to have to load up an instance of Windows in order to be able to send data to my 3D printer.
Right.
But it does look like they have a Docker instance.
Just give me a memory card. That's right. I'm fine with that.
Well.
So that Cobra goes 600 millimeters per second. Damn, that's ripping.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I want next year for my birthday, Misty. That's what I want.
The Cobra?
Yeah, that's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I want the four-color one. That's fine, too. Actually, no. Hell with birthday. Christmas, man. That's what I want. So, I heard bad news about Ghost Proteins.
What about it?
Any of the Mondelez licensees are done. So, no more Nutter Butter, no more Oreo.
Well, that sucks.
No more Swedish Fish energy drink.
Well, the Elegoo Centauri Carbon is $100 cheaper, but doesn't have the changer.
Okay. I mean, I don't do a lot of things that I would want to change, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it would be nice to be able to do, like, the dissolving supports.
Yeah. Yeah, the PVA.
And I think it would take a lot of learning. I've watched some people do the whole multicolor. And you have to do that in the slicer, and it looks like it would take a lot of extra effort and time to learn.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Now, tomorrow I'm going to be ordering more first form stuff, because I get my commissions from my own sales. Nobody's bought anything yet. They just released a new protein bar, and I already got it. It's strawberry smash cake. It's pretty good.
Well, okay, looking at the Elegoo Centauri Carbon, anyway, I guess it runs Clipper.
Clipper, okay, yep. That you can run Clipper on Creality printers too.
Right, but this one's running Clipper out of the box.
I've been debating getting the pad for mine, which is runs Clipper, the Creality pad. Creality's got a similar one to the Bamboo Labs. I'm wondering who, yeah, and Creality's going to be up there go, because they're coming. Well, actually, any 3D printer is going to start to go increase in cost because they're all coming from Shenzhen.
Right.
The K2 Plus is the Creality version of that. And they have a combo with that too. Let's see, how much is the K2 Plus? Your best bet to save some cost wise is to look for anyone with those 3D printers on Amazon who have already have them before the tariffs.
Yeah.
K2 Plus Combo 3D is $1,600. Yeah, I mean, I'll go with Anycubic or Elegoo.
Yeah.
And I don't need Creality Cloud. I have Creality Cloud, but I don't think I have the premium. What's the top speed of the K2 Plus, though? Hold on. I wonder if that's because of the tariffs, because they do have... Well, the tariffs are now suspended again, though. Well, lower than 10%, I think.
Yeah, no, 30%. From 130%,
the tariffs are
going to
eventually become a non-issue because Trump realizes how stupid they were.
You would hope, but the man doesn't know how to back down from anything.
Yeah, I'd go with the Anycubic Cobra One right now.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. I'll be right back.
Fishing. How you doing, Joe?
Oh, it's been a rough day.
Work-wise?
Allergies.
Oh, my goodness. I bet. This time of year.
Yeah, this time of year, I'm freaking miserable.
Do you have the yellow pollen coating?
Yes.
In your area? Okay.
All over the vehicles.
Yeah. Is it still happening?
Everywhere.
We got a table for out front, and we didn't realize that it was like a glass kind of top table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful, beautiful, but man, it's black. It's like blackish color, and now it's just yellow.
Yellow, yeah.
Yeah, it's just yellow. The rain comes, and then you look outside after the rain, and you're like, oh, it's got some green smudges on it now, but look at it's the original color, and then by the next day, it's yellow again.
Mm-hmm.
The fun times.
Yeah, I end up with like an all-day migraine, and it's even having gotten the allergy shots and taking all the allergy pills, I'm still freaking miserable.
I get it a little bit, but not like that. That sounds uncomfortable.
It is. It sucks.
Oy, 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 oy. You still repairing a lot of equipment these days?
Well, I did a couple more low-cost Bluetooth headsets.
Uh-huh.
Just because... I've picked up the switches to fix some of my LGs, but now I can't find the bag of switches that I got because I needed to replace all the on-off switches because they just wore out over time and they would randomly like shut off. So I had a bunch more of the cheap Bluetooth ones that I put the MMCX connectors on, and they sound a lot better than stock, and as long as the microphone's good, you know, I can use these things practically forever, and I can find batteries for them. Oh, I did fix, I have a, where is it? Here it is. I have a screwdriver, a screw gun from Craftsman Evolve screwdriver that I recently fixed. The battery just wasn't holding a charge. I figured it was an 18650 battery, but when I opened it up, it actually turned out to be three 1.2 volt batteries. So
that's weird.
Yeah, like I think they were AA size. So an 18650 wouldn't fit in there, but thankfully I had a 14500, which is a 3.7 volt battery. So I was able to get that soldered in, and it works really good now. So, yeah. And with putting together that, because I was able to get the sides printed for the next mini rack that I'm putting together, and I had to set in, I think it was like 280 five millimeter nuts, so that way I wouldn't have to go in and worry about it later. So I got that set up. I got the heat set inserts done on the ends so that I can put the handles and the feet on. I've got the feet printed, but I'm waiting on the motor, the new motor for the 3D printer, before I do the handles, and that should be here tomorrow. And once that's done, I will have to bring down my garage computer and my network rack. Mm-hmm. And take everything off the network rack and move it to the new one. I'm also going to switch out the power supply that I'm using for the hard drives to a lower power, smaller sized, quieter power supply. And that should be plenty enough to handle that. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to 3D design a bracket for it to hold it on there properly, but I don't have to do that at first. And I also want to 3D print a 120 millimeter fan holder to go underneath the hard drives and push air up through them. So that should help keep them cool during the summer.
Get some Noctuas.
Yeah, I have a 120 millimeter fan that is not a Noctua, but I will probably eventually purchase a 120 millimeter Noctua for that. So.
Yep. I eventually need to tear apart my mini and put the fans in that. I just don't use it that much. Maybe I should do that before I get into production mode for Christmas. Because that's kind of like what I do for gifts, like for, you know, those one-off things where you just need to get a gift for somebody, you know? But I know what you need for your garage, man. You need an air conditioner.
That would require a lot more insulation.
You can get one of those EcoFlow ones.
Yeah, I could get one of those evaporative ones too, but it wouldn't work in my garage.
Nah, that wouldn't. Well, that wouldn't work where you're at either, because that only works in. Well, I don't know. It might.
It wouldn't work in my garage. It's too humid.
Yeah, I mean, Texas is a crapshoot on how humid it can be. It depends on lots of factors.
I did have to switch my electric company, though. My current electric company was... I've been paying like 12 per kilowatt hour for a long time now, and they were planning on putting me to 18 per kilowatt hour, 18 cents. And so I had to switch to another company that's offering me like 14. Which is still better than 18.
Yeah, I don't really shop around power companies that much.
This is the first time I've really had to do that.
Right.
I didn't realize it was such a big difference.
Shop around. Like here, we only have one power company.
Well, you're renting, though. I mean, that's the difference.
But there's no other power company in this area.
I had assumed the same, actually, since it's Texas and it's all like one power grid. But I did look around and I was able to find alternatives.
Yeah, it's the supplier that's the difference. It might be this. Like, for example, in my case, I could get a different supplier. But all the infrastructure that leads the power to my house would all still be done by AEP. Now, I'm just with AEP anyway for my supplier because it makes sense. Because they're reasonable and I've used them for years. And, you know, the only thing I'm semi-thinking about is going with some solar and batteries here and there.
I don't trust Texas enough to actually, you know, go the whole solar route. And I can explain that if you'd really like. But the company that I'm with, you know, if prices improve or if my work situation improves, I can pay an extra 2 cents per kilowatt hour and go completely renewable.
Right. No, but I'm don't talking about putting them on my house, though. That's, I mean,
yeah, I don't trust
from the power company.
I don't trust Texas enough to put solar panels on my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because my concern is, yes, they're incentivizing it now, but they've done this in the past where if you're connected to their electrical grid and you are putting power back into it, then they will charge you fees that are basically equivalent to what you would be paying if you were just getting right. electricity.
See, what I need to do is I need to run into somebody that, like Dave Miller, the 8-bit guy. Ran into, he found a guy that had a whole bunch of panels that were used, and like he got them for like $80 a panel and did all of them on his own, I think, in certain places. Yeah, you know, he's got sweetheart deals with EcoFlow and stuff like that to get batteries and stuff.
Well, you ain't getting me up on my roof.
No, me either. He built a pergola for his little office studio space that he put out behind his house. But
cover my backyard in panels.
Yeah.
See what happens.
I just want to get the ones for my to recharge my Metatron battery.
Like right at the height of my fence line so that I can walk under them. I won't have a yard in the back, but I'll have electricity.
Yeah, I had my eye doctor appointment this week and I couldn't get glasses because I completely blew my Flex account on my portable CPAP machine. It's worth a dose. I'm going to eventually, once I get back from Louisiana, I'm going to plan some, like, Joel's just going to go throw a sleeping bag and a mattress, an air mattress in the back of the Traverse and grab a campsite and set a campfire and make a meal and then go to sleep out in the field and then wake up in the morning and go hike and then come home. And I want to do that several times. Now the Metastrom battery panel that, or the solar panel I need for that is $235. That's a foldable solar panel that will charge. Give you one night worth of CPAP machine on the Metastrom battery that I have, the Pilot 12. It'll do that in about 5 hours. So. Eventually, I'm going to probably see if I can't figure out, well, what do I need to build? Actually, no, there's nothing I need to do to build one. There is a device that I can pick up. I just got to figure out where to get it that will let me convert a standard, like, high-powered power delivery USB-C battery bank to run the CPAP. So then I just buy, like, Anker battery packs for that. But I did get one.
Isn't the CPAP, like, 12 volts?
It is, but you can get power delivery can go the high.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can go up to, like, 20 volts. So not a problem.
Yep. It won't go... The one machine I have... needs 12. My normal machine, my nightly one, needs 24. All right. I would probably eventually I want to get like a Jackery or something like that to just have at the house for just, you know, that night that the power goes out and I want to go to sleep in the oh my god heat. Powered off of that. if I have to. I'll probably, actually, in that case, right now, I'll just switch to the travel machine. And that's the thing I'm debating on. When I go to Louisiana, do I want to mess with the travel one or just take my regular one?
Get a UPS off a server rack, and there you go.
That works too, but Dan sounds like he's tired.
Oh, yeah.
But, oh, yeah, we gotta wrap it up.
We do, man.
We gotta wrap it up.
All right, guys.
Yeah, 1 week without Joel next week.
Definitely won't have me.
All right. Well, we'll see you in 7. Have a safe trip.
Yeah.
Talk to y'all later.
Actually, probably not then either.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass?
What happened there?
Yeah, with my tongue brush. How did that...
I don't know.
Oh, here we go. We try this again.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making it poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Now, I gotta figure out. I think we're coming home Tuesday. I think, yeah. Because I know not next week. I may not be the next week either. I got to figure out. I know I have the car till Thursday next week. The week after, I should say. So.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'll play it by ear. I'll let you know. But I use quality meat, not Taco Bell's. Whatever they have.
was it the kit there where you get the seasoning and the sauce and the?
No, I got just the spices, and then I used part of it was El Paso. They got these low carb crispy shells. What do they call them? Shit.
Well, I hope they don't call them shit.
No, they were good. Actually, I got the ones I got. My wife and Luke ate the other ones. I got the nacho cheese taco shells from El Paso. Carb, what did you call it? They're low carb. Lower carbs. And kind of like the Dorito shell that Taco Bell has. But lower carb. And I had a chicken, sweet potato, and kale salad with a peanut dressing. That's like my go-to lunch now. See what they call those things. Of course, I see what I ate in my logging app, but Carb Advantage crunchy taco shells. And they make one with nacho cheese, and it's only like, 7 grams of net carbs? And 90 calories for 2 shells. Not too bad. Oh, I'm glad I don't look at their other products. Man, they got dessert taco shells now, too. That's disgusting. Disgustingly good, but stuff I try to stay away from. That's like... Krispy Kreme has donuts for Pac-Man's I think it's 50th, I think. I don't know.
Hello.
Whoa, it's Joe.
It's Joseph.
It's Joe. Joe.
Is it fucking hot, man?
Yeah, it's hot.
You're
triple
hot,
digits.
Joe.
Oh, I know I'm hot.
You're hot.
Joel says you're hot.
Joel knows I'm hot.
Yeah.
He's beefcake.
Oh, look at that. You're making him hungry.
I'm getting pudgy again. That's all it is.
No, I was a little. You go from what? 85-15 to 75-25? Ground beef now?
Yeah, something like that.
That happens.
I'm 222.8 as of this morning.
Oh, I don't know. I ain't weighed myself in a few days. Last time I checked, I was 235. Oh. Last week, short notice, I had to go to my son's JROTC thing.
What happened?
In graduation?
I think we lost him.
Uh-oh.
He was talking and cut right out. Uh-oh.
You there, Joe? I'm sorry. Krispy Kreme.
Impel. Now you hear me.
There he is.
Yes.
Okay. Some reason it switched microphones again.
Great.
There. Now I can't switch to that other microphone. But no, last week I ended up at JoJo's JROTC award ceremony.
Ah, cool. No, Krispy Kreme has a new collab for Pac-Man because Pac-Man's 45th anniversary is this year. And it's a good thing I don't particularly care for Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah.
If I'm going to have a donut, it ain't going to be from Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, I've never really been big on the whole Krispy Kreme donuts. They're terrible.
And the only way they're good is if they're hot. And that's the only way. And the closest ones I can get hot ones at are over in Hilliard, and I ain't going all the way over there to blow my calorie count for the morning.
Right.
It's bad enough now that they see my coffee. I've been doing a scoop of collagen and a scoop of protein powder every morning. This is actually not that horrible, but... And I found Sola bagels, which have 16 grams of protein in the bagel. So, I'm
right there, stuffed in the middle. 16 grams of protein.
Mm-hmm.
They got some guy filling them in the back.
No.
Oh.
They're at the grocery store, man.
Filling them in the front. In the
baked goods section. Besides. Okay, the Pac-Man donuts, three of them have black icing on the top of them, and that just sounds gross.
I guess we better get the show going.
Yeah.
This is 1098.
That's the Team Ghost Donut, an unglazed shell donut filled with chocolate cream dipped in black icing, decorated with Pac-Man maze, and... top with Team Ghosts. Blech. And keep them.
Let's see. What we got?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not here next week. I will be in Nashville probably. On the way to Baton Rouge. Then when I get there, one of the first things I'm gonna look for is a place that has crawfish etouffee. course, hopefully that same place has something that my wife and my son... Well, my son's no problem. My wife is a little bit worse of an issue. She's pickier than he is. I mean, I can take my son with me to go get sushi. I just... Kroger's sushi is better than Meyer's, and because Meyer's does weird things like hot Cheeto sushi. Like sushi coated in hot Cheeto dust. It's like...
That sounds disgusting.
Exactly.
And whoever thought of it
should be shot. Yes. I mean, put some... See, that's the other thing, too. Like...
Thank you.
The ones who put, like, and they taste okay, but, like, the ones that should put, like, tempura on in the sushi, like, tempura crunchies, they put, like, those fried onion things. Which, those don't taste bad, but it's not really what you're supposed to do with sushi. It's supposed to be crunchy tempura. But... Like, yeah. Yeah.
Holy crap, Joel. I took a shit the other day.
Uh-oh.
I thought it was going to fly out of that toilet.
Did you break it?
And circle the freaking bathroom with a Goodyear logo on the side of it.
It's all the fucking beans, man. It's the black beans.
Yeah, man, I eat a lot of fiber, so they come out, they shoot out perfect, but I was scared of this one. Like, if I had dropped this on the floor, the cats would have run in terror.
Did you need a poop knife?
I don't know, that thing went down that toilet pretty quick. I thought it was going to break the toilet, man. It was, oh my God. Yeah, all right, let's start.
Yeah, let's start it.
Joe doesn't want to hear this.
No.
He wants pictures.
I can tell you stories.